נימי.
ערב טוב.
נימי.
ערב טוב.
נימי, תתעורר.
ערב טוב.
נימי, מה קורה?
בוקר טוב.
בוקר, צהריים, אני כבר לא יודע מה השעה. מה נינים?
בסדר גמור, מה קורה?
טוב. אתה יודע מה הכנתי לך היום?
מה הכנת לי?
הכנתי לך מתאבן ספרדי.
אופה, איך זה נקרא? נו, הקטנות האלה.
טפס.
טפס,
טפס. הכנתי לך טפס לפרק היום.
וואי, חזק לי באוזניים, אבל אולי זה רק אני.
יכול להיות.
וואלה, טפס.
כן, משהו נחמד. מאמן כושר. מאמן כושר אגדי. לג'נדרי.
תלמו? היה לי בזה, היה לי בביתר מאמן כושר ספרדי. תלמו.
תלמו? כן. תלמו ילין.
תלמו ילין. אין, כמו זה, אני כמו הטלנט שמגיע, לא יודע כלום ונותן עבודה והולך.
כן. טוב, אז תהנו, הכנו, רגע, והכנו לכם, מה?
נציג אותו, נגיד מי זה?
לא, זה בפרק עצמו יש כבר זה, אבל מה שרציתי להגיד זה שהכנו, בגלל שהרעיון עצמו הוא באנגלית, לא ברמה הכי גבוהה, ולפעמים קצת הסאונד נתקע, כי ראיין אותו באיזה תוכנת סוג של זום כזה, אז בסוף הפרק הכנו לכם מעין סיכום בעברית כזה שדיברנו על הדגשים העיקריים שהיו בתוכנית, אז מי שככה אין לו כוח לשמוע את כל הפרק באנגלית ואת כל הקשקושים שלנו, יכול לקפוץ לסוף לשמוע בתמצית, אבל אני כן מציע לשמוע את הפרק עצמו, כי המאוד מאוד מעניין, עם פרטים מאוד מאוד קטנים ומעניינים, וזהו, נימי.
מאמן.
יאללה.
יאללה, תהנו.
תפדל לו, ביי. ברוכים הבאים למאחורי הקראים. לאורח הבא שלנו יש תואר ראשון בפיזיולוגיה ותואר שני באימון גופני לשחקני כדורגל. ככה זה כשאתה גדל באירופה. הכל מקצועי, הכל נישתי ואפשר להתמקצע ברמות הגבוהות ביותר. הוא עבד 16 שנה במחלקות הנוער של ולנסיה והיה חלק מקבוצת הבוגרים שלקחה שתי אליפויות ספרד, שני גביעים, סופר קאפ ספרדי, גביע וופה, מה שהיום זה אני חושב ליגה אירופית, וסופר קאפ אירופאי. בשנת 2012 עולם הכדורגל הישראלי השתנה לחלוטין כאשר חואן הגיע כחלק מהכוורת של ג'ורדי קרויף יחד עם צוות אימון ספרדי ואת התוצאות ראו מיד בעונה הראשונה שהובילה לשתי אליפויות גביע המדינה, שני גביעי טוטו והפלה לשלב הבתים של ליגת אלופות ולאחר מכן שתי הפלות לשלב הבתים בליגה האירופאית. אז דבר ראשון אני רוצה להגיד ברוכים הבאים לחואן טוריחו. וולקאם חואן.
הלו.
היי חואן.
שלום לכולם.
שלום.
שלום.
הרעיון הולך להיות באנגלית, אני מכין אתכם, אז גם נמרוד וגם אני מתנצלים מראש על בוא נגיד האנגלית הקלוקלת משהו, כי זה פעם ראשונה שאנחנו עושים רעיון באנגלית, והרבה זמן לא דיברנו, אז אנחנו מתנצלים, אבל נשתדל שזה יהיה ברמה הכי גבוהה. על האנגלית של חואן אני לא מתכוון להתנצל.
How much of what he said did you understand?
Almost nothing, guys. It was my weakest point.
What we're doing now, it's the first time for us in a few aspects. It's the first time we do far distance podcast. Yeah. And it's the first time we are being videoed and I comb my hair. I didn't shave, but yes.
No worry.
And
no
I worry. Need to put my hands like this so that nobody will see.
Okay. No worry, guys. Always was my first time with IRL thing with you both. And it was a big experience, a really nice experience. And always I'm ready to the new challenge.
Yes, yes. Well, we have a lot of questions about that. Actually, when we were thinking about what are we going to talk about, there are many things to talk with you about. I mean, if it is Maccabi Tel Aviv, if it is to talk about your aspect of the Israeli football, because you're already highly experienced, And obviously all the professional side of just generally football and fitness working in football and so on.
So Juan, can you please tell us what are you doing these days so people will and what your meeting with Israel and the Israeli football?
Yeah, listen, in that date, just now I am arrived from training. I'm coaching. I'm the assistant coach and fitness coach of the under 18 of the team when my smallest son is playing. And just now we finished the session in the morning at 11:30, 12. Okay. I had to do some things and I'm enjoying now because we are waiting what is the next step. You know that I'm part of the staff of Jordi Cruyff and we are waiting our next destiny, all of us, all the staff that we join to them. And well, it's time to stay at home, to enjoy the time that we have. Still we don't know how much is going to be this time, but it's one of the difficult things that we are working in football. No? Sometimes you don't have nothing to do, you have to enjoy the family, and suddenly in 2 days you have to pack your baggage and you have to fly, whatever you want. yeah. At the moment I'm enjoying this time. Well, we'll see what is coming.
That's a very difficult point, what you just touched about, you know, when you work when you're attached to someone, to a coach, which is something we didn't do. You really, your life is very dynamic. I mean, you don't know what will be next week. You could find yourself, I don't know, in South America, or where were you until now? Can you just give us the
any clue? No, I cannot give you any clue at the moment. Of course, I have knowledge what are our possibilities. But listen, already we are all of us in Spain, and we can go to the west, we can go to the east. One of the things that I'm sure we are not going to stay in Europe. We are not going to stay in Europe.
Okay.
We'll good see to know. What is happening. What is happening.
But can you tell us can you tell us where have you been until now? Which countries did you visit already up to now? Which continents?
Really working in football. Okay, the first one, of course, was Spain. Although I think that you say everyone that I was working in Valencia 16 years. My first 6 years was in the academy, in Valencia Football Club Academy. After 6 years, in 2002, I started to work in the reserve team and the first team in the best area, in the best time, the gold area era of Valencia. And in 2012, a bald guy combines me with Oscar Garcia to join to Maccabi and to left everything here in Valencia because I was in a good and comfortable position in the first team. But of course, I want to show my knowledge, I want to show my way of working, and he offered me the possibility to go to join to Maccabi. Well, our first year was great, something that I never expect, but the answer of everyone in the club was fantastic. Players, staff, management was really good, and we got the championship in a project of 2 years. Just in 1 year, in less than 1 year, we got the championship. And suddenly, you know, decision of the coaches make us to take decisions and to leave Maccabi after 1 year to go to Brighton. In Brighton also our experience was really, really nice because England football is something different. It's something that also I miss a lot because I'm talking about the structure, about the facilities, about everywhere, about because people in England is living around football. There is not another sport there, just football, maybe cricket and rugby like this, but football is the king sport there. And we enjoy a lot, but also decision of the coaches make us to come back to Maccabi. I was really, really happy to come back, of course, to you and you boys again, and all the staff and everyone. And after a little bit summer, of with many dubs. Okay, we got the best season I think that Maccabi many years, because we got the treble with Paco Yestarán or something great. And I also spent 4 years more, and it was a good experience. But after 5 years in Maccabi, 6 for Jordi, was time to left. And we expect to stop a lot of time, but in 1 month we were flying to China, to Chongqing, to fight for don't relegate. And we got the target. We did the rest of 2018 and 2019, we did a really good two seasons. We enjoy a lot there. Was in the middle of China, was a humble club, but we were working really good. And when everything was ready to keep working in China in a top team, suddenly government managed everything there, and they stopped contract. And 24 or something like this of December, they communicated us that we were not going to be in that team. And 1 week later, we were in Ecuador national team. 2020, we started in the other side. In the other side, we were from China to South America in just in a gap of 7 days, and we were there. We were preparing the first game of qualification for the Qatar World Cup, and suddenly the pandemic arrived, and we took the last flight from Ecuador to Spain. And we spent 3 months in Spain, but the sponsors fall down. There is no more, in that time, no money anymore for paying us salaries. And suddenly we started looking for another team. And in China, another team came in Shenzhen, in a team that was relegating and that's it, going up and down. And well, our experience also was really good with them, but suddenly the opportunity to Jordi came to go to Barcelona, and well, you know, Jordi prepared everything, and everything is under his control, and we arranged everything to keep with the club until final of the season. We got the best qualification of this club, Shenzhen Football Club, in 17 years. And after this tough time, because it was in pandemic, the restrictions of the COVID was really tough. We were in 2021, we were 5 months and a half in hotels with quarantines and everything. It was really tough for us, especially mentally. And I decided 2022, don't do nothing and stay with my family and take time for me. And in 2023, start again the possibility to come back to Israel, to Maccabi Tel Aviv, my second home. And I came back, of course, really, really happy to come back. It was like a big deja vu after 5 years don't being there. It was something fantastic with a good feelings. And of course, my plan was to be half a year there. And because, you know, we plan everything like we're going. Well, and now we are waiting new destiny. And this is my experience abroad and in Spain.
Wow. Juan, what did you think about Israeli football when you got here? And what do you think about Israeli football 5 years after you were gone?
Wow. Listen. When I arrived to Israel, I was in shock. I can tell you. First time, I remember that time when I arrived to the training ground. Listen, my wife, Jack Angelis, invite my wife and me to go to Israel before to sign, because still I was not totally convinced. Okay, I was playing Champions League every year with Valencia. We had amazing training ground. And when we arrived to Kiryat Shalom, my wife told me, he never curse, never. He never say by words. She told me, what the fucking are we doing here? This is the sentence of them. And I was also in shock. What the fuck is this? No, what? And I started to be calm and say, Juan, now it's time. If you want to do something extra, you have to go out of your comfortable zone. It's time to do something. To do something different. I want to apply all my knowledge. I want to apply everything that I have in my head. I have to do it here. I don't care facilities. I don't care many things that I had in Valencia. And it's
Do you remember what shocked you the most? If it's in the facility, what was it? What was this thing?
The facilities of the Israeli footballer.
Wait, that's no, before. But the first shock was
the first shock is when in the entrance of Kira Salon, I was a lot of ruins, a lot of mess there, the containers there with guys. What is it? No. After when I stepped the pitch, wow! I saw the quality of the pitch was really good. At Bloomfield Stadium, I was also really nice because listen. I visit Anfield, Stamford Bridge with the top clubs in Europe, also Real Madrid, Nou Camp. And the grass of Bloomfield was really great, no? Because when I visited Bloomfield, I was really happy, but the training ground was a disaster, no? Where is the office?
I remember...
It was contented as well.
I will never forget the list of equipment. The first order of equipment... The first time I saw it, I was in shock. Like the amount of equipment we ordered in the first month of your arrival. Yeah. I think probably Mitch was in a much more shock than me, but we had nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, one of the good things that I never had was I had a meeting in Barcelona with Mitch, and I never expect that the owner of the club will have a meeting with me that almost 1 hour, asking me what is the step, what is the level that we can reach in Maccabi in the first 2 years, of course, because the project was for 2 years, and he was listening to me in every detail, was asking me how was the level of measurement, the accuracy that we are going to reach if we got this amount of equipment. And I was really happy because it's something that never someone asked to me. How was the precision of and the question that he was interested on. For me, it was something great. And it's the final decision, no? Because fucking hell, I say this man is really interesting that his club is going to grow, but for growing you have to invest in this kind of equipment, because if not we cannot measure load, we cannot measure anything, and of course another thing is to be on the pitch and to push the players, of course, because you know me, that is my rule, no, my way of working. But I was really happy. We were really happy with Mitch, and still we are really happy because he supported me all the time with all the management that was behind him, you know.
Yes, I also remember. I mean, when you arrived, I was only a one physio, and there were three masseurs, or actually, yeah, two masseurs and one kind of a sport therapist or whatever, and. And you almost immediately said, I want more physios. I remember, I was wondering what did you think of the medical department, if you could call it even that, when you arrived?
No. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. I recuse, of course, I want all physios, at least 4 or 5. And one masseur, okay? Because some of the players, they need an extra massage, or that's it. But we are here to do treatments. Not to do massage. Massage is for more relaxing than that, but the treatments are more applicable to recover injuries, whatever, no? Or tiredness. But one of my first requirement, okay? The first year, I know, was the tough one, and our amount of work was really, really, really tough. really big. And well, I think that we got the medical structure that we needed. The club listened to us, and everything was going well. And I think that we did a good job in this way.
I agree with Yotam said it in Hebrew, but I agree with him in the fact that I think the arrival of you guys, but I think Jordi is getting most of the credit, but I think the arrival of you to the Israeli football, I think made a real revolution. I think the Israeli football changed so much since the day you arrived, and the way the standards that you set into you know, the way of work and so on. And I will never forget, like, the training camp in La Manga, and how we would start working you know, after games, bringing weights to every stadium, and teams would look at us, and since then many, many teams took after that, and I think there was a big, very big change. You, from what I understand from you, you said you felt you got, like, almost everything you asked for, you was accepted at the time.
Yeah, one of the good things is that I was happy that everybody was accepting everything that I was proposing. Of course, we came from a education in sports different that I found in Israel, and we keep doing almost most of my ideas that I was learning for many, many fitness coaches that I was working in. I was working with Valencia, but for Israeli football was something a shock. No, why they are doing training after games? Why they are doing strength at the games? No, everybody was doing strength after games, because my target was to do recovery trainings for the player that played more than 60 minutes, and compensatory training for the players that didn't play. Because if you do just one training after games, the day of the games, if some of the players didn't play or play just a bit, they didn't do nothing. Just go to the hotel, eat a lot, and sit in the bench and doing a little bit of warm-up, and that's it. And the best way to compensate this amount of load and to keep fit these players that are not playing, the best way is to do a strength workout after games and football training plus one, like we say, a day after game. Okay? I think that everybody can understand this kind of...
I will explain it shortly, Juan. For our listeners that don't know what you're talking about, when you say... compensatory training, it's like compensate it to bring the players that didn't play to the level that the players that did play, so they won't lose anything fitness wise.
Yeah, because imagine you have a player that is all the time sitting on the bench, so he's not playing, and week after week he's missing like one or two or even three training sessions, because the match day minus one is a very easy session. The game day is an easy session. And sometimes the match day plus one is also. And so you want them to, you don't want him to lose fitness and to lose his condition. There was a lot of debate, Juan, about the thing of using weights directly after a game. Sometimes it can be 11 o'clock at night, sometimes it can be and what do you think about that today? Do you still do it? Is it something you still do?
Listen, one of the parts most difficult for everyone is that the psychological way. If the players are not ready to do it, it's because we are forgetting many times the psychological aspect in football. Players must be enough strong to deal with these situations of I have to do training after games because I'm not playing. And one of the things that in Valencia depend of the coaches, of course, and the fitness coaches depend of the week as well. but it's one of the things that we were doing everywhere. In England, it was not usual to do it as well, but we were doing sessions of strength. In Macau, we were doing. In China, it was difficult because it was not allowed to do nothing on the pitch, but we were doing on the gym in the hotel. We were doing strength in the gym in the hotel. Some of the players asked for it. Some. And another one doesn't want to do nothing, doesn't want to talk with you, doesn't want to listen to you. Depend of the mental preparation of the players. And in function of how stronger you are, you can do it or you cannot do it. And it's one of the things that I'm thinking every day much more, that the coaches, the psychological coaches, must be on the teams, on the staff, because they are really, really important to manage the behavior of the players, the character of the players, and many, many aspects that can help us on it.
So if already you touched about the character and behavior of players, what would you say, what is your impression of our players, the Israeli players, as you know, someone who has experience with many other countries and cultures?
Listen, Israeli players are well educated in a way that all of you did you went to the army and you know the way that that is the best way to work, you know. And I was really, really, really happy because discipline of most of the players were good. Everything is not possible that all the players would be disciplined and listen up and follow the rules, whatever we want. But I was really, really happy with the behavior of them, the way of working, the intensity of the... But of course, when you arrive in a new team, a new country, with a new ideas, what are you doing here? No one of the foreigners, coaches foreigners, have success here because we are different, we are special. But you had to do a special treatment for each one. And it's one of the things that, of course, was difficult in the first year, but you know that there is some special players that you have to treat them in a different way than other ones. And of course, and we have not just the coaches. We have a sport director that is the biggest specialist, I think, treating each one in the way that they need it and combines all of them in the way that they have to work.
Yes, but as someone who worked with the Chinese players, Spanish players, Israeli players, Ecuadorian, I don't think you didn't get to work with them. But would you say all of them are the same, or each country has its own a bit different?
All of them are different. All of them are different. There is this kind of players that the guys, the tough guys, that they don't want to do this, I want to do this, and all of them, they want to explain you why. I'm this one, I'm the best one of the world, and that is not the best one in the world. Maybe there is two, three players of the world, but in Israeli football, I can tell you that there is not any player that can make the difference sometimes. Yes, just the top clubs have some of the players, but one of the things that you have to use in China, if you don't push them, nobody push for you. Instead that in Spain, if you don't push them, the players are telling you, what's up here? We are here touching our balls. We are not working enough. In Israel as well, there is some of the players thinking now in this way that in Spain is thinking. One of the good things that we have in Spain is that every player love competition. Every player is a fighter. And everybody told me, no, why in Spain you are really competitive ones in every sport? Because everyone want to win. That's it. And they are fighting until last second in every competition. And it's one of the good things. This could be a little bit different. In China, there is not this kind of players. In Spain, you have a lot. And in Israel, now there is some of the players that are thinking in this way, in the professional way.
If already, I would love to ask you, who is the least professional player you work with, but I will not do that to you. I will be nice. But but maybe you can mention a few names of like players that you really felt that were different in the way, in the standards, in the way they work. And what was it? I mean, maybe.
Listen, in China, I have a really good foreigners players. The most special one was Alan Kardec, one striker that we have there, really tough player, working hard worker in every second, in every moment, whatever happened. In Israel, I can give you, of course, one name. The name that I can give you of Israel is Eran Zahavi. Eran Zahavi, for me, always I have to stop him. I'm telling him, you cannot work too much. You have to work the necessary that you need it, no extra, because overload also is not good. And in Spain, I can mention you many. But in Spain, they understand much better what is the way you have to work and what is the amount of load that you need. It's one of the things that I'm breaking also my head on it. Okay, don't push too much one player, or don't give someone extra work if they don't need it. And I'm more focused now in the workload management, how to give everyone the right pill that they needed, okay? Because all of us, we came from a mother and father, and we don't have the same atmosphere, we don't have the same genetic, we are not eating the same, we are not resting the same, and we have to know exactly, we have to know one by one the well-being of each player, the tiredness of each player, the load that is doing on the pitch of each player, and collecting all this data to give them exactly what they need on the pitch, what they need psychologically, in the psychological way, and if you have to stop him or you have to push him. And this is one of the keys. And I can mention this one, yeah. Of course, in Spain I have many. I have many how workers like David Abelda, like David Villa, David Silva was one of the hard workers. I remember in that time Jordi Alba, when he was young one, who was hard, really hard worker, and I never had to stop him because I always let him to work as much as he can, okay, and still they are competing well.
Yeah, Mo, a lot of our listeners are fitness coaches. That what you said is very important because monitoring players on the pitch and know when are they in a big load or a small load, it's very difficult to understand it, and you know, reports and monitoring is very, very important. And one of the things that we wanted to ask you, we had a few discussions in the last few days about who is the manager of an injured player that is coming back from injury? If it's the medical staff, or if it's the fitness coach, or if there is somebody like Yossi Zigdon in Maccabi that was like a middleman between the medical staff and the fitness staff, what do you think about who is managing the return?
Listen, finally, in the process of returning to play, is a work of a team, okay? There is different stage. Different. In the first stage, doctor is giving diagnosis that what happened with this player, okay? And there is an injury. And immediately the doctor, with the pictures, with the images that he has to give a diagnosis. We have this problem, we have this injury, and we have to proceed like this. And he's going to guide the physiotherapist in this case, and you have to start to work with the player in the first stage. Okay, basically there is not someone responsible. The doctor will be responsible to give the diagnosis, and the physiotherapist is going to lead and to manage what is the process of the evolution of the injury. Okay, there is one moment when the doctor say, this player is up to jump to the doctor with the physiotherapist, both together, they had to decide when is the moment to give the player, to give the step up to the next stage. Okay, the next stage would be from the clinic to the pitch. Okay, and of course, the physiotherapist, you are going to work on the table and on the gym as well. Okay, on the gym, doing many kind of drills specifically, going to the basic, to the more specifically, and after to work on the pitch with the rehab. In this case, you are talking about Joseph Digdon. Joseph Digdon is one of the biggest specialists on it because he's based on the external load of the player that he's doing.
Explain that. What do you mean?
When I'm talking about external load, is the load that you are watching on the pitch or in the gym. What is doing? Okay. When I'm doing internal load, is that I'm talking about what are the feelings of the players? RPE is the rate perceived exertion of the player, and also could be heart rate. Okay. This could be internal load. Okay. But the external load is everything is about the GPS. Okay, what are you recording in the GPS, or what are you doing in the gym as well? You cannot record in GPS, but you are lifting 20 kilos, you are lifting 40 kilos in a deadlift, in a squat one leg, whatever. Okay, this could be external load. Okay, GPS and weights. And internal load is the feelings of the players, of the RPE, the number that is going to give you 1 to 10. Okay, also. You have a pain, all these kind of things that I giving you information of internal of the player. Josie, of course, is one of the specialists that is doing the rehab following the GPS data, okay? And he's building drills, okay, to progress until levels of external load that the player had from the games. Because we always have the game like a top reference, okay? If this player was reaching 36 kilometers per hour in a game, okay, we have to reach at least 90% of this performance to join to the team. And after this stage of rehab, okay, the player will join to the team partially. It means starting to be floater and starting to do part of the session during a process, usually was depend of each player, but it's a process of 1 week or 2 weeks, okay, depend of the progression of the player. And after this process to partially join to the team in the fifth stage. We are talking about first process, just to remind, the first process just to work on the table with the physiotherapist, working with the physiotherapist on the table and in the gym, okay, and could be also on the pitch because you guys, we were working as well on the pitch because we don't have a gym that most of them have now. The third process is with the rehabilitator, okay, in this case, Nimrod. The fourth stage will be partial with the team, and the first stage, and the fifth stage, will be full with the team. And full with the team, at least this player have to work at least 2 weeks to join, to be ready to start. Okay, for me these five stages are vital to
yes
to yeah. Return to play
now,
in other
both I think all of us working in football clubs, we have the experience of situations in which a coach sees an injured player working on the pitch, and the injured player is doing very nice things and looking very impressive. And then the coach comes and said, hey, look, if he can do that, I want him back in the team. What do you think about about coaches that come and intervene and start giving their opinion and asking, you know, to give them the player and so on and so on? First of all, did you experience this with coaches that they did did things that you didn't agree? And what do you think about that? When should, you know, that's it. I'll stop.
Yes. Well, I always put in question everything. I think that always we have to follow the process of rehab. if someone want to blow the process of React, many times the consequences are harder. Because sometimes nothing happened, but many times happened the worst, that the players re-injure because they jump many steps, and they join to the dynamic of the team, immediately the players start to feel it. And my experience is that if you jump steps, you are in the wrong way. And you have to explain the coach, slowly, very calm. This is the way that we are, because if we are progressing too fast, because one of the principles of the training is the progression. And we are talking about principles, we are talking about science. And we are talking about something that is demonstrated, that is working like this. And we had to go in the progression that we had to follow. And that's it. If the coach doesn't understand, he is the responsible of this decision. And we had to take him the responsibility of it, of this decision. And we had to be clear with the coaches. Guy, whoever you are, okay, if you want that this player can do your, if you and the player are agree, you can join. But my answer is clear. He's not ready to do this or this. We must be clear. But finally, if they are over you, they are responsible of it.
Juan, I have a question about what Nimrod asked before about the players, Israeli players. But something good, when you came to Maccabi, is there any player? I don't want to pull up names, but I have a special name because it happens with every coach that came to Maccabi, almost every coach. But did you? Dor Micha, okay? He always coaches thought something about him, and then they saw him play, and they thought something else. And did you have a player that you thought something before you came, and you thought something after you met him and saw him play and work?
Listen, I think that to do prejudice before is not good, never good, because many, many people surprise you. I remember first time that I met with Andrés Iniesta. Was coming with Barcelona.
The first time that I saw him playing against us was he was playing in Barça B, a reserve team, and we were playing against them in our training ground in Valencia. And I said, well, what is going, this guy, thin, white skin, so white, is almost transparent. And he started to play and show what the fuck is this? I thought, I will never say nothing about anything. My expectation must be weighed until you are watching someone to play, because of course, you know, he was one of the best players of Spanish football anytime.
Yeah.
And because this never is good to show expectation and to produce something before start to watch him on the field, you know. And maybe with Dor Micha also work like this. I have a really good relationship with him, but I never see someone that dribbling the ball with him and watching also the last part, the part that never seen. He was doing with the right, with the left, and you never can push him to do too much strength, because he never was growing up. He was trying, but he has another kind of qualities, and you have to deal with the qualities of the player that you have, because with our schedule, it's difficult to change bodies of the players, really.
Yeah, and sometimes when you try to change a player's body, then you may get him injured. But in any case, I'm sure he will be very happy with your association, you know, when you associate him with Andrés Iniesta. I'm sure he will be very happy with that.
Yeah, for sure. And I love him.
Yes. Tell me, when in the years we were together in Maccabi,
we experienced something that I think Maccabi Haifa in a way is experiencing now, which was very, very short breaks between one season and another. In a way, we had like three seasons in one row, in one, like without any breaks. What, first of all, what do you think about that in general, you know, about its effect on players' bodies? And do you think it's something that needs to be changed? If it's possible to change, who is responsible for changing this? One thing. And secondly, once, if already you have this, what do you think should be the emphasis on the physical planning, you know?
Yeah, well, who is responsible to change this is, of course, is the association. But finally, the association had to follow the rules of FIFA, and in this case, UEFA as well, because you have a calendar, you have to follow the calendar, and you have to finish the league between this and these dates. And if you don't have too much chances to choose, you have to follow a list, and now Israel League is finishing early as they can. I think they are doing well. I don't know if they can do it before or not, but they are responsible of it. And how to deal with these kind of situations? For me, it was a good challenge to go forward with this kind of situation. But something that I'm clear is that players need 3 weeks for hormonal recovery, because after a long season that we had, and you know, we play 62 games, 60 comparing with top teams in Europe, we were one of the teams that were playing more games in a season, official ones. And you have to give the players at least these 3 weeks holidays for recover in the hormonal aspect. And after, you have to progress slowly. You cannot introduce too much load. If you introduce too much load, you are arriving to the first games of the qualifications dead. It means you have to start to load in progressively. If you have 2 weeks, you have to break your brain, to put the load in the way that the players can deal with it, to arrive in 2 weeks to the first game in the best conditions. And in 3 weeks, most of the players, they cannot lose too much. If after 10 days don't do nothing, because always it was my advice, they need to do, and they start to do something else. Okay, I was building short programs for players. All of them, most of them were follow them. And one of the good things was that also we don't have so many injuries. But of course, we were not doing so many sessions. We were not introducing too much work. We were introducing much more prevention workouts than football training sometimes. But it's the way to keep them safe. We have to do prevention workouts every day before training. The coaches have to deal with it, and they have to admit that this is the way to keep players safe, because players' injuries are not performing.
Yeah. Tell me, if you were like a consultant to the Israeli Football Federation about how to deal with clubs that play in European qualifying rounds, and you know, like we were in Maccabi, or like Maccabi Haifa is now, do you think there are things that they can do better in, I don't know, planning schedules and this?
Yeah, I think for me would be good if they can finish season middle of May. If you finish middle of May, would be great, because you would have 1 week extra. But of course, you have the June, in June, in the first week of June, you have another international break. What you can do with it? Because finally you are in UEFA now. In UEFA you have to follow the rules. And I think one of the good things, really good things that they did, is to take out the teams that are going to Europe to the Toto Cup league in the first stage. And they are playing just one game. This is something really good that they did, and I think that they are learning, and they are doing many, many good things in the last years, and they are downloading the teams in that way. And also I think that they are finishing much, much earlier the league, because we finished this year, last season, 20 of May. And of course, I think they have enough time. I think that they cannot do much, much more better. They are doing really well. Very well. Comparing with the 2012, when I arrived to Israel, was a crazy. I remember with Paco Yestarán, we finished one season, the final of the cup, we finished around 1st or 2nd of June, and we have the first game of qualification 29th of June. Was something crazy. We give the players, I think, almost 12 days off, and we have 2 weeks to prepare the first game. And we were lucky that everything was good, but it was not easy to do with this kind of a schedule.
Yeah.
Say, Juan, I want to ask you something. How do you think Jordi picks his men? Because you go with Jordi several of years, almost a decade, and the I guess something is about you that makes him pick you and go with you such a long way.
Listen, I think there is two words important on it. The first one will be loyalty. For me, nobody showed me the loyalty that he showed me to me. And another thing is respect. Jordi, listen, I can fight with him about many things, aspect of training or whatever. A tough argue, you know. You have with him these kind of argues. And after 50 seconds, is the humble guy that come to you and tell you, oh, sorry, fucking up, I did something wrong, that's it. He has this humility, guys, and he respect human being. And these kind of things is not easy to find it in this world. I can tell you, I met with many, many coaches. And loyalty and respect for you is not easy to find it. And it's one of the good things that this guy have.
How do you think he's as a manager and as a coach? Because you've been with him in both ways.
In both parts, okay. Like a coach, it's much, much easier. Like a manager, no, because like a manager is out of the big picture, no. He's out of the big picture. He's managing in the backstage what is happening. He's managing really well. He's a top one. Managing all that things that happen, that suddenly he said, oh, this kind of things happens, and he make it that everything happen in the way that he wants. But also he's really, really good in the one against one with the players, with the staff and everyone. He know how to deal with the one, how to take the best of each one. And he's the biggest quality of him, okay, a part of his loyalty and his respect of everyone. And it's the good thing is that many of us, we follow him like a leader.
Tell me, if we talk about the relationship between a fitness coach and a manager, head manager, what do you think should be, you know, how much does a fitness coach impact on technical decisions about a game? Let's say, I don't know, can it be that a fitness coach would tell a coach, listen, we cannot play in this tactical way because our players are not ready for this or not fit? Or can you tell him, listen, this player, you know, during a game, you tell him you must take this player out, you put this player, you know. Can you tell us a bit about this side of the, how much, you know, how much impact you have during games, around games, on the technical side?
Yeah, listen, about how the play of the style of playing of the team, you know already when you are starting working with a coach, you know how is the demand, the physical demands of this system. Okay, and you have to press high. The demand is going to be much more in the way of strength. You are going to play in the low block. You are going to demand much more in speed for the players because we will have a lot of distance behind the back of the defense. And when you know what is the way that you are playing, you already know the demands of this team. Of course, during a game, you immediately you are watching what is happening on the pitch, and you can advise the coach. This player, I think, is now not in a good moment, but maybe tactically is much more important because he doesn't need to move too much, and you can move this player to another position to be more comfortable because he's not so demanding. And of course, one of the things that I'm telling also the coaches during the games is that this player is not fit. I think that you are thinking about, we are talking about the minute 60. Minute 60 for me always is an important minute because when the players, the final players is falling down. No, for all of them, for some of them, and depend also of the month of the season or depend of the load of the players. Because I always send in a coach a report before the game, what is the risk of the players and what is the possibilities that they have to get injured. Okay, because there is many variables and we are falling for it. We are I'm sending him a report the most clear as possible to give them this player is matter of this, they have this kind of risk of speed injury, hamstring injury or whatever, you know. And before games as well. For games, I'm advising them when you are doing the starting 11 before he, because coaches are always doing the starting 11. After one game, they are immediately starting thinking what is the next starting 11 for the next game, and we are giving them information. If you are thinking on it, and usually when we know exactly the starting 11, you have to give your opinion, okay, in the fitness area. Okay, I think that he's not able to do this or this or this. I think that this player come from injury. It would be good that they start with 30 minutes. Immediately, I'm watching the medical staff, what happened the other side, and they told me, oh, in the minute 60 will be good. If you change him, you know, you have to listen everyone and to transmit the head coach this information.
Tell me... I think we're gonna start going towards the end of the this episode, but I want to ask you, what do you think we as Israeli medical staffs and generally Israeli football, maybe Maccabi Tel Aviv, what do you think we still miss compared to top European or medium European clubs? What do we still need to add? What are we missing still?
Listen, like telling clear, I think that professional physiotherapists are not well paid. In Europe, they are well paid and they don't have to looking for another job to keep salary. You know, Israel, especially Tel Aviv, is the one of the expensive cities of the world, if it's not the expensiest of the world. And you have to pay well the physical that you are working, your medical staff or doctors or whatever. Doctors is much more difficult because, you know, they have a higher status, but also you don't need a doctor full time in a club, is my opinion. You need a good physiotherapist full time in your club, but for it you have to pay well these people because they have to stay 24/7, and they are 24/7. And if you are not considering, they are important for me, medical department, especially physiotherapist. And I'm not talking because you are here. You know me. I'm not. I always talking clear. Okay. You have to pay well. This kind of people that is working really hard every day, any hour, and whatever in the training camps, because I'm living with you many hours, living in China, everywhere. Medical departments are one of the departments that I work in much harder. And no time, eh? At 12 o'clock.
Well, we are very happy that you say that, because we thought you were going to answer something else, but I guess this answer pretty much said it all.
We didn't pay you to say that.
You didn't pay me nothing. It's clear.
No. Juan, for the end of the episode, we're going to ask you a few short questions. Try to be short and be very specific, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. What is the most terrible injury that you ever seen?
Well, ACL. I'm lucky that was just ACL.
But who? Do you remember one specific occasion?
Sorry, I can't hear you guys.
Do you remember a specific player that was the worst that you've seen?
Sorry.
Which player was the worst ACL that you see?
ACL that I see? Was Canales. Was Sergio Canales in Valencia.
Which crowd do you think was the worst that you played against?
Something is wrong. Eh? Why is Siri talking with me? Is Siri talking with me?
Do you hear us now?
Yeah.
We can hear you well.
Yeah. We heard the answers. Which crowd was the worst that you played against?
The worst that they play against. Wow, what the fuck? Hapoel Tel Aviv, no doubt.
Good answer. Which player is the one of the biggest that you've seen that his career ended because of an injury?
Ended because of an injury. Wow. Because of an injury.
That he didn't get reach his potential because of an injury.
I have many, but it was a really young guy that was playing in Valencia. I had too many, but for another ones, I don't have now no one in my head. Maybe Canales, maybe Sergio Canales, if they didn't have the two ACL injuries, would be one of the top of Spain. No doubt. Sergio Canales I saw him playing with 17 years in first division in Racing Santander. I saw him after in Real Madrid. He came to Valencia and he had two ACL injuries. And if this guy didn't have these two injuries, I think that could be much, much bigger than he has. Here.
Okay. Nice. If your life depended on it, okay, who will you give to kick a penalty shot?
Penalty shot? Eran Zahavi. Fucking hell.
It's the same answer for all of...
I have a question. Just spontaneous. Is there... can you... I don't know. Maybe you will not want to answer this, but is there an Israeli coach you would like to work with, or you thought would be nice to work with?
I would like to work with Barak Bahar, no doubt. Mm-hmm. No doubt, because I didn't approach him too much, but I think that he's an interesting guy. I know Guy Safardi, and I talked with him many times, and I think he told me some interesting things about him.
Yes. Which player would you mostly like in the world? Would you be most want to coach and to maybe measure and see and you know to see how he train?
To measure, Cristiano Ronaldo, no doubt about his potential fitness. I think it's crazy. And to coach, and I know that it's really really difficult to coach him. To coach him is Lionel Messi. Lionel Messi is really difficult to coach him. I know.
Okay. So we're going to wrap it up. We're going to say many, many thanks. It was a pleasure, always a pleasure to talk to you, Juan, and to meet with you and learn from you, because every time we talk, something new is comes up, and I think I'm going to say in the name of both of us, thank you. And
I want to tell you, first of all, good luck, and I hope that your next step will be just as good, if not better, than the ones before. I hope you're like that the future is in front of you. I hope we will work again together, especially with the what you said about being paid well for figure. what else did I want to say? When you get to work in those big clubs, don't forget us.
no worry. I want to thank you you, because you know that during many years we were looking for this space to do this podcast with you both. Yes. Because you know that I love you both from time that I was in Maccabi Tel Aviv. Of course, it's a pleasure, because our relationship was something else. Just a fitness coach and physiotherapist was something else, because like human beings, you are good guys, and I enjoy a lot time that I was with you working and enjoying time. And of course, I hope that if we can work together, for me would be a great pleasure. I'm going to push you, you know. Don't forget it, my way of working, but I will love it, and I think that you will love it as well.
Yes, and maybe you can bring us some very interesting names for the podcast in the future. I don't know, Jordi Alba, maybe someone like that.
Yes. Canales.
We will see. If one of them they will open, I think one of the problems that the Spanish guys have, nobody of them talk English.
Yeah. I remember you when you arrived and your English
was crazy, but I was brave and I was going forward. Whatever happened, guys, you will understand me, and all of them they understood me without any problem.
Okay, thank you very much, Juan Torrijo.
Thank you very much, you both.
We love you. Yodan, we miss you.
Nim, you do. Bye-bye.
Bye. טוב, נימי, היה מעניין מאוד.
כן, כן.
רשמתי לעצמי כמה דברים שחואן דיבר עליהם. למי שלא שמע את כל הפרק וישר קפץ לסוף, ראיינו את חואן טוריחו, המאמן כושר האגדי של מכבי תל אביב.
מי אתם האנשים האלה שלא שומעים את כל הפרק וישר קופצים לסוף? אם כבר כאילו לא מעניין, אז לא מעניין עד הסוף, לא?
או שאנשים שלא יודעים אנגלית.
אוקיי, זה כן, זה לגיטימי.
אז חואן טוריחו האגדי, שאלנו אותו שאלות שלדעתי היו מאוד מעניינות, גם ברמה המקצועית וגם ברמה האישית. חואן הביא איתו, היום זה נראה מאוד לגיטימי שבכל קבוצה יש מאמן כושר ו-GPS ומעקב ואת כל הדברים האלה, ולפני כמה שנים, לפני, ב-2012 כשהוא הגיע, זה לא היה כל כך רגיל, והוא הביא אותו המון 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 פרוגרסיה, מה שנקרא.
לדעתי הוא ממש עשה מהפכה בכדורגל הישראלי,
בכלל בספורט לדעתי.
לא פחות ולא יותר.
אז אחד הדברים שחואן דיבר עליהם, שהם היו מאוד מאוד מעניינים, זה כל העניין של אינטרנל לוד ואקסטרנל לוד. אתה רוצה להסביר את זה, נימי, קצת בקצרה?
כן, כן. אלה שני מושגים מאוד מאוד חשובים בכל מה שקשור בניהול עומסים של ספורטאי, כאשר מדברים על שני סוגים של עומס, עומס פנימי ועומס חיצוני. אינטרנל לוד זה עומס פנימי, מדובר בעצם על המדדים שאנחנו אוספים מהגוף של הבן אדם. זה יכול להיות הדופק שלו, זה יכול להיות רגע, אוי, ברח לי עוד דוגמאות. זה יכול להיות מדידות מסוימות של כמה כוח הוא כרגע הפיק, ודברים כאלה. זה בעצם העומס... סליחה, הוא דיבר על RPE, שזה בעצם התחושת עומס הסובייקטיבית של הבן אדם. זאת אומרת, בן אדם בסוף אימון, שואלים אותו כמה קשה היה לך בין 0 ל-10, והדבר הזה מצאו שאפשר להשתמש בו כמדד כדי להעריך כמה עומס היה על הבן אדם. זה עומסים פנימיים, זה מה שהבן אדם חווה בגוף. עומסים חיצוניים זה בעצם דברים שאנחנו בעצם מעמיסים על הגוף מבחוץ, ואנחנו יכולים לספור את זה.
מדידים,
לצורך העניין,
מדיד.
מדיד, כן. לצורך העניין, כל נתוני ה-GPS, כמה קילומטרים הוא רץ, כמה ספרינטים הוא עשה, כמה האצות, כמה האטות, את כל הדברים האלה אנחנו סופרים כדי לדעת כמה עומס העמסנו עליו. זה יכול להיות כמה קפיצות הוא עשה בחדר כושר, או כמה סקווטים, זה יכול להיות כמה קילו שמנו עליו, כל הדברים האלה, ואז בעצם אנחנו לוקחים את אנחנו גם לוקחים את העומס החיצוני שהפעלנו עליו, וגם לוקחים את החוויה הפנימית ברמת נגיד דופקים וכאלה, ומכל זה, שקלול של כל זה, אנחנו יכולים לחשב בעצם כמה עומס מופעל על בן אדם מסוים בשבוע נגיד. ומפה אחר כך להתחיל לתכנן את השבוע ולהגיד, אוקיי, הוא בשבועיים האחרונים היה בעומס מאוד גדול, גם פנימי, גם חיצוני, אז אנחנו עכשיו נגיד נוריד לו. מצד שני, יכול להיות מצב שבשבועיים האחרונים הוא היה בעומס חיצוני מאוד גבוה, אבל מבחינת הגוף, הגוף לא שידר שהיה לו כל כך קשה. אז אנחנו יודעים שאנחנו מתייחסים לזה קצת אחרת, וזה תמיד יכול להיות גם הפוך. שחקן שחזר מפציעה, גם כשהעומס החיצוני הוא לא כל זה גדול, העומס הפנימי יכול להיות מאוד מאוד גדול, ולכן אנחנו מתייחסים לדברים האלה, ולכן גם ההפרדה בין שני סוגי העומס. מספיק?
כן, מעולה. חוץ מזה, הוא דיבר על, שאלנו אותו כזה, קצת על הרפואה, רפואת הספורט בישראל ועל הפיזיותרפיסטים, מה לדעתו הוא היה משנה, מוסיף או נותן לנו איזשהם עצות להשתפרות, והיינו מופתעים מאוד שהוא אמר שהוא היה משנה את המשכורת של הפיזיו, כנראה כדי להפוך את זה למשהו שהוא משרה מלאה, כדי שנוכל להתרכז במקצוע עצמו. מי שלא יודע, הפיזיותרפיסטים היום בקבוצות ספורט, כנראה עובדים בעוד איזה מקום אחד או שניים כדי להשלים הכנסה, וזה לא אידיאלי, וחואן בסופו של דבר אמר, אתם צריכים להפוך את זה ליותר מקצועי ברמת השכר, ואז תוכלו גם להיות יותר מקצועיים בקבוצה עצמה, שזה הייתה תשובה מעולה, והפתיע אותי מאוד, הייתי בטוח שהוא ייתן לנו איזה משהו כזה, אתם צריכים להשתפר בחבישות, או משהו בסגנון הזה, זה היה מאוד מאוד מפתיע. חוץ מזה, על מה עוד הוא דיבר? כן, נכון. יפה, נימי. דיבר קצת על העבודה עם ג'ורדי, על הנאמנות שהוא רוכש לו במהלך כל השנים, שזה אחת הסיבות שהוא הולך איתו לכל מקום.
כן, הוא דיבר קצת באמת על היחסים איתו ועל האופי של ג'ורדי שמאפשר את הדבר הזה, ואני יכול גם להעיד ממקור אישי, זאת אומרת העניין הזה שהוא יכול רגע אחד לריב איתך ריב מאוד מאוד רציני, אבל דקה אחרי זה לבוא ולרקח אותך וכאילו לפעמים גם לבוא ולהגיד שהוא מתנצל או דברים, אין לו את האגו במובן הזה של עכשיו לנטור טינה וכולי, של איך אתה רב איתי. על מה עוד היה שם?
אני חושב שדי סיכמנו את זה יפה. הוא דיבר על עוד כמה מרכיבים של חזרה מפציעה, על רמת התקשורת שצריכה להיות בין הצוות הרפואי לצוות הכושר.
נכון, הוא גם הציג שם את הפורמט בעיניו להחזרת שחקן מפציעה, שהוא מאוד מאוד חשוב. הוא ירד לרזולוציות די נמוכות של כאילו חלוקת השלבים, אם זה שלב המיטה הוא דיבר עליו, שזה כאילו שלב חדר הטיפולים, אחר כך שלב הג'ים נדמה לי הוא קרא לזה, שזה השלב השיקום האקטיבי, אבל לא על המגרש, אחר כך שלב שיקום אקטיבי על המגרש על ידי הפיזיותרפיסט,
שלב ביניים כזה.
ואחרי זה עוברים למאמן, מאמן כושר שתפקידו שיקום פצועים, שעובד על החזרה של החזרת השחקן ליכולות קדם הפציעה. אחרי זה הוא דיבר על שילוב בקבוצה באופן חלקי, כל מיני תפקודים כמו ג'וקר ודברים כאלה. אחרי זה הוא דיבר על מספר אימונים שצריך לעבור עם הקבוצה לפני שאתה מחשיב אותו כקשיר למשחק.
הוא נתן, הוא זרק איזה מספר של להגיע לרמת external load, מה שהוא דיבר,
שהיא
תואמת.
תואמת 90% ממשחק רגיל.
כן, זאת אומרת, אם בן אדם במשחק רגיל מגיע ל-30 כמה שריצה, הוא צריך להגיע ל-90% מזה בשלב השיקום. אם בן אדם במשחק עושה בממוצע 260 מטר ספרינט, אז הוא צריך בשיקום לעשות, להגיע לפחות ל-90% מזה. על זה הוא מדבר, ואת זה עושים בעזרת בדרך כלל GPS למי שיכול. וכן, והוא גם הזכיר בהקשר של החבילת חזרה מפציעה, גם את הדירוג של הדקות משחק שאתה חוזר, זאת אומרת, משחק ראשון 30 דקות, משחק שני 60 דקות, ככה. זה, כמובן שכל זה בהתאם לאורך הזמן שהיית בחוץ בפציעה.
כן, לפעמים רמת הפציעה היא נמוכה, כמו נקע בקרסול, שלפעמים מספיקה חבישה, והוא צריך איזה יום שתיים מנוחה, ואז הוא יכול לחזור. זה לא מדובר על פציעה כזאת, מדובר על פציעה שהיא קרע באמסטרינג, קרע בארבע ראשי, לא משנה, מיניסקוס או ברמות האלה, שצריך בעצם החזרה מדורגת של השחקן, וצריך בקרה, והוא מאוד דיבר על התקשורת בין הצוות הרפואי לצוות הכושר, שבמכבי אני חייב להגיד שהתקשורת הייתה, בוא נגיד לפרקים, הייתה טובה מאוד, לפעמים הצוות מתחלף ואז קצת יותר קשה, אבל בסך הכל המערכת, וזה יאמר לזכותה נימי, נבנתה בצורה מאוד מאוד טובה, והתקשורת בצוות הרפואי והכושר הייתה מאוד טובה.
עד ש...
עד ש...
זהו, לא נאמר יותר.
כן. זהו, אז חוץ מזה, היה פרק ממש מעניין, מי שרוצה שיחזור אחורה עכשיו וישמע את זה באנגלית. ואנחנו מכינים לכם עוד דברים מעניינים להמשך החופש הגדול עד לחזרה ללימודים, שאנחנו נחזור בעוד פרקים מעניינים.
עם כמה יציאות מהקופסה, הייתי אומר, יציאה, יציאות.
כן, יש איזה שניים, שלושה פרקים שלא חשבתם שתשמעו, אז זהו. אז איך אתה אוהב לקרוא את זה?
אני אוהב להגיד שאנחנו מאוד מאוד נשמח לקבל פידבקים. אתם יודעים, אם יש שאלות שאתם חושבים שאנחנו צריכים לשאול ולא שאלנו, לא ספציפית אחורה, אבל באופן כללי, כיוונים ששווה לשאול, להיכנס אליהם עם שחקנים או עם ספורטאים, ובכלל, אבל אם אהבתם את זה, ואם אתם חושבים, מכירים מישהו שזה יכול לעניין אותו, או לתרום לו מקצועית בצורה כלשהי, אז באמת, אל תעססו, ונשמח מאוד שתפיצו ותשלחו להם את זה, תנו המלצות, לא יודע מה, וגם אם תתנו לנו פידבקים. זהו, בקיצור,
כן.
תודה רבה. תודה שנשארתם עד כה.